Okay. We are going to have a sermon tonight. And believe it or not, I'm going to preach about water. We have had so much rain lately, and here I am going to preach about water. Now we need more water. Amen. Amen. Well, it just seemed appropriate to preach about water, okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the life-giving preaching, Father, that's full of the Spirit of God and uses the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you bless this preaching tonight. May it be, Lord, life-giving to all of us here. Lord, help me to preach it as you would have it said, Lord, and help all of us to listen and to get the truth, Lord. May it be pertinent, potent, and important to our lives, please. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All those P's in a row. I didn't alliterate that or plan that on purpose, but okay. Amen. Anyway, so the title of my sermon tonight, there's something in the water. There's something in the water. Amen. Man, it's only 7:15. We'll be out of here 7:45. What do you think?
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise Jehovah. God is still on his throne. All right. There is something in the water. Let me read it to you. Revelation 22:17. Okay, Revelation chapter 22, and verse 17. In your Bibles, there is very. It's just one verse. This is our text verse for tonight. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You remember a guy named Ponce de Leon? His first name was Juan. Ponce de Leon was his last name, okay? And in Spanish, that means the pounce of the lion. Ponce de Leon is pounce of the lion. That's literally what it means, okay? How would you like to have that for a last name? John Pounce of the Lion. That was what his name was. He must have been some kind of a, you know, guy. I wouldn't want to tangle with him in a fight. But Juan Ponce de Leon spent a good part of his time and effort and life and money searching for something. You know what he was searching for? The fountain of youth. Right? The fountain of youth. That's what he's known for. When you hear that name in history, connected with the fountain of youth, and they've got it down there in Augustine, Florida, right in the tip of Florida there, St. Augustine, Florida, what they call the fountain of youth, and it's a park, there's a whole park there, and they tell me the stuff tastes nasty, okay? It's like really hard water with a lot of sulfur in it, but that was supposed to be the fountain that he found, you know, among the Indians there and everything down in St. Augustine, Florida, but he spent, you know, and he considered it a very important pursuit, right? And he gave his life to it there for a while anyways. I expect he gave up after a while, but he gave his life to it for a while there. Where's this fountain of youth, you know? Okay, well, we have available to us, and I have discovered the fountain of eternal life. Not just the fountain of youth, but the fountain of eternal life. Hey, if I could tell you where you can find the fountain of eternal life, you feel like you won the lottery, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I mean, you feel like winning the lottery is a small comparison to the fountain of eternal life. Come on now. All right. Well, I feel like, you know, my boat's come in. My long lost aunt died and she left me $2 million or something. It's just exciting. Well, the fountain of eternal life. That's the Lord Jesus. That is our God. Okay. Listen what it says. Psalm 36:9. With thee is the fountain of life. With thee is, Psalm 36:9 says, with thee is the fountain of life. All right. Remember Revelation 22:17. Let him, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That fountain of life is available, and it is. It's better than winning the lottery. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 10:4. It says something about the children of Israel in the wilderness. You remember they were, they went off into the wilderness and they were wandering around. And they had this rock that was following them. That's the weirdest thing to me, but it's what it says, right? 1 Corinthians 10:4. Okay, I'll read the other verses. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Who is the fountain of eternal life? That's our God. That's Jesus. Okay? The fountain of eternal life. Hey, did you know that in the Bible, everlasting life is a quantity of life. Eternal life is a quality of life. You come to the fountain, you get everlasting life. That's what the woman at the well, she came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, if you knew it was who said unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you, living water, okay? Well, there's everlasting life, and then there's eternal life, okay? Everlasting life starts when you get saved and goes on forever. You weren't alive, and now you are alive. You are passed from death unto life. You have been quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, okay? And you've been made alive. That was the day you got saved, right?
Yes, sir.
You were given everlasting life, everlasting life. Now, eternal life is something we go back to the fountain for, okay? Eternal life is something, is a quality of life. That is the life that the life that God lives in heaven. Eternal life, godly life, the spirit-filled life, okay? That is eternal life. Well, we get that from the fountain now. We got everlasting life. We got that. But now we need to be going back to the fountain of eternal life on a daily basis. All right? Listen, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, I want to read you something. It's very sad. Very sad. The Lord is talking, and he says to of his people, of Israel, he says, they've forsaken me. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, for my people have committed two evils. Two evils, okay? One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Who's the fountain of living waters? Well, that's our God, Jesus. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out. To hew is to like dig and to scrape and to carve, right? Hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've turned from the fountain. They got the fountain right here, right? And they've turned and they've forsaken the fountain of living waters, and they're over here digging and scraping and cutting out of the rock, and they're making cisterns. You know what a cistern is? It's like a holding tank, right? Holding tank for water. And it's probably different sizes, all the way from a barrel up to a swimming pool, you know, cisterns. They were hewing out cisterns, but it says broken cisterns that can hold no water. They left God, they left the fountain of eternal life, and went to trying to carve out their own way of satisfying their needs, okay? Because the water, the eternal life, the water from the fountain of life is what meets our needs. That's what we need. That is that thing that satisfies us. You know, God created you with a need for him.
Yes,
and the only way you get that need satisfied is to come to him. And he will give you that eternal life. That's the only satisfaction you're going to find for that need. Well, people have turned aside from the fountain of eternal life, and they say, well, but I want to do this, and it's going to satisfy me. Okay? I want to become this, and it's going to satisfy me. I want to have this, and it's going to satisfy me. Okay? But that he said it can hold no water. Okay? It can hold no water. The cisterns that they're hewing out and making and carving out of the stone, beating themselves to death to get this, whatever it is that they want, that they think they have to have. Okay? Is it going to satisfy their need? Is it going to meet their need? No. No, there's only one thing that can meet our need. That's the Lord Jesus. That is coming to him. Okay. They have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. And it says again in Jeremiah 17:13, it says something quite similar. It says this in Jeremiah 17:13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Amen. You know what a fountain is? No, that's not a fountain, okay? That's a statue. All right, Buckingham Fountain is not a fountain unless it's coming up straight out of the ground. I think Buckingham Fountain might be on a water system supplied by city water, you know, and some pressure pump, right? Okay, Buckingham Fountain is not a fountain. A fountain is a source. It's where it comes out, okay, where it originates. That's what a fountain is, okay? I drank from a fountain one time. I walked up into the hills of Oregon, up into the Eagle Creek Trail, went back up, and I saw water coming down out of the side of the mountain there, and I knew it wasn't very far up the hill. It couldn't have been. It was a small stream. I followed that thing up 50 yards, and I found where it was coming out of the hill, okay? It wasn't coming down the hill. It was coming out of the hill. There was a rock there, and it was spurting out right there. So I drank from the fountain, okay? So I wanted to say that I had drank from a fountain like that. I came home and my dad said, "Oh, you probably got bacteria and bugs, so you know, you're probably gonna, you know, get all sick and everything." But hey, I drank from the fountain. I filled a water bottle right there and I brought it home, right? Because I wanted to say, but that's what a fountain is. A fountain is the origin, the source. Okay, who's the origin and the source of the living waters that we need that can satisfy our needs? That's our God. That's Jesus. Okay, the fountain of living waters. He's the source. He's the origination. It comes from him, all right? What is it that meets your need? What do you look to? What is it that keeps you going, that satisfies you? What is it, that place that you go when you're in need, okay? Do you, not you, none of you would ever do this, but some people run to the bottle, you know? Some people say, when I am in need, Jack Daniels, you know? Some people say, when I am in need, they'll go shoot up some drugs, okay? Or some people may say, when I'm in need, I go shopping. but, you know, what is it? Where do you go when you get in need like that? You know you're in need. You know you're thirsty for something. You don't know what it is, okay? What do you turn to? You're discouraged or frustrated or failing, or you say, I need something. What do you turn to? Mountain Dew? No. What do you turn to? Okay, well, look. The Lord Jesus is the fountain of eternal life, and we are created with that need in us to come to him. He's the only one who can satisfy it, all right? Not nicer houses, not nicer cars, not more pleasure, longer weekends, not better food, more of the physical relationship, not prestige or position or social, you know, whatever. I don't even know what you would call that, but social relationships, okay? Repetition, recognition, okay? Whatever those people that give their lives to try and find, none of that is going to satisfy like our God. Hey, do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for God? Because I want to tell you, none of these other things are going to satisfy that thirst. Bigger barns, bigger cisterns, it ain't going to do it. It ain't going to help you out. Hey, Psalm 42, verse 2. I'm just going to read these quickly. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. There is a thirst in us, and it's not for money. I'm sorry, and it's not for things, and it's not for reputation and prestige. There's a thirst in us. It's built in us. We're designed with it, okay? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Psalm 63, 1. O God, thou art my God. Early while I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You ever been there? You ever been there where you say, I need God. I need to get alone with God. I need God to do something for me. I need God to fill my need. I need God to do something. I need that living water, Lord. I need a drink. I need you to satisfy my thirst for you. Okay? You see it in the Bible over and over again. Psalm 143, verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Isaiah 44, 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's the living water. That's the fountain of life there. Are you listening? I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. What water? The water of eternal life. That life-giving influence. That life-giving, powerful presence of God and power of God and blessing of God. that we need so badly. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Isaiah 55, 1, 2, and 3. Listen, I'm going to have to read that one. Isaiah 55. But he starts it off with the word ho, okay? Now, the word ho there is kind of like the word oh. It's kind of like, it's H-O. It's kind of like the word oh. I mean, it's an expression. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. He's talking to me. He's talking to you, okay? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come ye to the waters. What? Come to him. Come to the Savior. Come to him. He said, he that hath no money. You don't have no way to deserve this. You have no way to pay for it. You have no way to buy it. He said, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money? Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Wherefore do you hew out your cisterns? Wherefore do you go and labor for that which satisfieth not, the Bible says. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Where are we going to find the satisfaction of our soul's deep need? Okay, there's songs there. I remember I woke up one morning, and I was desperately in need of the living water. I was backslidden and mean, and my roommate in college, his name was Alan. Alan says, he was waking me up, and I was tired. He was, you know, shoving me and said, hey, Brother Souls, you gotta wake up. I woke up just like this. I was taking my best swing, you know, right roundhouse to the jaw. I was after him, and I was like, ah, you know. I did. I took my best swing at him. He ducked it out of the way, and he started singing. Wow, he says, water from the rock is what I need. That's what he started singing. He knew I was not doing well right then. I wasn't. I was backslidden. I was away from God. What I needed to do was get alone and get in my Bible and read it and pray and get the water, okay, from God. Do you thirst for God? Isaiah 55, 1, 2, and 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He said, wherefore you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Hey, he said, come, everyone that thirsteth. Okay? We get that way every now and then. But look, hey, people are not going to satisfy your thirst. Hope thou in God, for vain is the help of man. We get in a bad way. Do you run to this person or that person or the other person? I remember laying in my bed. I was a college student and I was dying. I had everything coming down on me all at once, and my whole life was falling apart. And I said, if I can just get to this person, if I can just get to that person, I'll make it. Okay? And you know what God did to me? Lo and behold, I couldn't get to this person or that person. And I ended up going alone and falling on my face saying, God, it's not fair. I needed to talk to him. And God says, here I am. And that was the best hour of my life, by the way. The very best hour, besides getting saved. Don't tell my wife I said that, but it's the very best hour of my life. Okay? But when I found God for myself, I didn't have to go find some person and get my help from them. I went alone with God, and I drank that living water for myself, and I never, never, never went back to needing a person. You know what? When preachers have come and gone out of my life, and I said, okay, they came and went, I still have the fountain. I don't need them, because I've got the source, amen? That's right. They go down, but I've still got the source. I can keep going. Amen. And I found it that day. It was special. It was important. I learned that it's not in men, it comes from God. Any good that some other man can give you, any help that he can give you, came from God. He got it first, and he's handing it to you.
Right.
And if you're a young Christian, that's fine. If you're a young Christian and not mature yet, that's okay. But hey, if you're an old time Christian, grow up and find God for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
All right, God created us with a need to fellowship with him, a need to drink from the fountain. We try to fill that need with worldly satisfaction, the broken cisterns, but it will not satisfy. Okay?
You're right.
Now listen. What's our text verse? It said, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Okay? Whosoever will. Very important wording in that verse, because the fellowship with God that will give you this living water, it only will happen if you do it on purpose. Whosoever will, it has to be an act of your will. You have to choose to go along with God. You have to choose to pull that Bible down and read it. You have to put it as more important than other things you got going on in your life, because everything's going to crowd out your Bible reading, right? Everything wants to take the place of your prayer time. Everything wants to cut you off from spending time alone with God. You're like, I just can't find time to read my Bible. I just can't find time to pray. Everything's crowding it out. It has to be an act of the will. And you say, this time belongs to God, and that's it. This time belongs to God, and nothing's going to mess with it. This time is my time to get alone with God and drink from the fountain, and I'm not going to give it up for anything. That's where it has to come to, okay? See, here's my sermon right here. Taking the water of life is an act of the will. We must choose, purpose, plan to drink at the fountain, or it won't happen consistently. You may go hear some great sermon, you may fall on your face and get right with God, but what are you going to do a week down the road when you still don't have time to read your Bible and pray? When you still don't have time to get along with God? No, it has to be on purpose with a plan, okay? Here it is. Schedule. Did I say that bad word? Schedule is the key to success in the Christian life. What's the key to success? Schedule. Meaning, you say, I'm going to read my Bible at this time, in this place, according to this plan. I know where I'm going to read my Bible. I know when I'm going to read my Bible, and I know what I'm going to read. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to go search for your Bible and wonder where it's at, because you know where it's at because you left it there yesterday, okay? Huh? You go find it. I know what I'm going to read. I know where I'm going to read it, and I know when I'm going to read it. The Bible, okay? Here. Schedule is the key to success in the Christian life. If we do not walk with God by schedule, we will never walk with God consistently. Do you want to be a consistent Christian?
Sir.
Right there it is. I know what, even with me, I drive at different times. I may be getting home at 12 midnight. I may be getting home at 5 in the morning. So for me to say, at this exact time, I'm going to read my Bible, that doesn't work for me. So I just say, when I wake up. When I wake up, I don't try and slug Alan anymore. I reach for my Bible. But that's the first thing that happens. I get up, I wake up, I reach for the Word of God. I know when I'm going to read my Bible, as soon as I crack my eyes open, okay? Well, what if you got up late? Okay. Is it more important to you to get whatever done, or is it more important to you to spend your time with God? Okay? This is where the rubber meets the road, all right? Now, you schedule your time with God and live with it and stick with it. Hey, the key to success in the Christian life, walking with God, is living by schedule. Schedule is the key to success if you're going to walk with God consistently. Have a time. This is the time I'm going to read the Bible. Have a place. I have a specific place where I sit. A chair I sit in. That's my chair. That's my Bible. I have a specific time for it. Okay? And I have a plan. My plan is not going to fit your needs. My plan is really different, okay? And it takes a while to even explain how I read the Bible, but it's according to the day, okay? Day one, I read 3 chapters in this section. I read 1 chapter in this section, and 3 chapters in this section, and 1 chapter in this section, and 1 chapter in this section, okay? Day one. The second part of day one, you see what I'm saying? It's a long, drawn-out thing, but I know what it is, and it's consistent, and it's the same thing every day, and it makes sense to me. So I do it that way. I kind of move through the whole Bible all at once. I'm reading some of the New Old Testament, the Pentateuch, I'm reading some in the Psalms, I'm reading some in the major prophets, you know, minor prophets, I'm reading some in the Gospels, I'm reading some in Acts and so on. So I'm reading, moving through the whole Bible all at once. That's my Bible reading plan. But make it easy on yourself, okay? You could have 3 chapters a day. That will take you through the Bible in 1 year, okay? If you say, I'm just going to read, I'm going to start in Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to start reading and read 3 chapters a day. If that works for you, that's a good plan, all right? Or you could do a chapter in Proverbs, 3 chapters in Psalms, and a chapter in Acts. That would take you through those 3 books in a month. Proverbs, there's 31 chapters. Psalms, 150 chapters. Acts, there's 28 chapters. Basically, you go through those 3 books every month, okay? You could add that to your 3 chapters a day if you wanted to, or whatever. You could do it by number of pages. So I knew a fella who He said, I said, I read X number of pages of the Bible because it takes me the same amount of time every day. He said, and I go through the Bible, you know, in a straight line, but he said, I just read X number of pages and do it. Whatever works for you, but have a plan, okay? Some people sit down and read for a certain amount of time. They have their little marker, whatever it is. They mark it where they stopped, but they sit down and read for a half hour or 15 minutes, whatever it is they read for, mark it, and that's their reading for the day. Whatever works for you, but get something. Don't keep going in your life without a plan, because it ain't going to be consistent. You're not going to be consistent in your walk with God. It's not right. going to happen. Okay? Have a plan. The Bible. Did you know the Bible? If first we're talking about drinking from the fountain of living waters. I mean, you know the Bible? In John 6:63, it says this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want to drink at the fountain of living waters? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
That's good.
To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of life. Amen. Of eternal life. Hey, the fountain of eternal life. Right there is your access, okay? Where's another one? Psalm chapter 1. What does it say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what? Doth he meditate day and night? He's drinking at the fountain. What does it say? He shall be like a tree planted where?
By the rivers of
water. I saw out of the throne of God there proceeded a crystal clear river of water of life. Well, he shall be like a tree planted by that river.
That's
okay.
Good.
Not just any river. The river of the water of life. Do you get it? It's not just some tree down by the Shenandoah, okay? He's talking about a tree planted by the river of the water of life. Hey, the Word of God. Don't ever minimize your time in the Bible. It's extremely important. What does Jeremiah 15:16 say? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You want to have joy? Thy words were found and I did eat them. What does it mean, eat them? It means he read them. It means he meditated on them. It means he chewed on them. He thought about them. He digested them. Okay? That's what he was saying. Have a time, have a place, and a plan, or it's not going to happen. Not consistently. I read my Bible today. Okay. Did you read it last week? Are you going to read it next week? Okay. Have a time, have a place, have a plan. Read it, memorize it, meditate on it. We ought to be memorizing the Bible. We ought to be meditating on it. Did you know, like Joshua 1:8 says, what does it say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. We're supposed to keep the Bible in our mouth and in our mind, all day long, day and night. That's what it says. All right. What about prayer? John chapter 4, verse 10. He got Jesus with the woman at the well. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Prayer. Okay? Prayer. God in heaven, I'm thirsty and I need you. God, you got to do something for me. This is real. This is now. I need you. I have no way to deal with this. I can't handle it. God, I need that living water. Boom. I would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. He's the fountain. He says, come to me. He says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He said, okay, prayer. We need to have a time and a place for our Bible. We need to have a time, a place, and a plan to pray. Okay? A time, a specific time. My time's right after I read my Bible. And after I get up in the morning and read my Bible, it's time to pray. Okay? I have a specific place where I pray. I just have a specific prayer list. Okay? You got to have a prayer list. Have a prayer list. You know, one thing a prayer list will do for you, it'll help you to know when you got an answer to prayer. You'd say, well, I just kind of pray about everything and anything. Okay, good. Well, but besides of that, add to that a prayer list so you can see when God answered your prayers. Huh? That's important. You mark it off. Okay, have a prayer list. Here's a thought for you. Acts. A-C-T-S. All right? little outline on prayer, okay? And it's just a simple to remind you when you're praying. Prayer literally is asking, okay? When we say prayer, literally that means asking. But in general, prayer is several things, okay? Adoration, praising God, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. What's that spell? Acts, A-C-T-S, the book of Acts, okay? A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You spend time praising God, you spend time confessing your sins, you spend time thanking God for what he's done for you and for who he is and his blessings in your life. And then you spend time asking for your needs and the needs of others. That's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, Acts. It's a simple outline on prayer. But you can use that, and you can, but you've got to have a prayer list. Have a prayer list. Just do that, okay? It's interesting. Did you know we're commanded to do several things all the time? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. He said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. When are we supposed to be praying? All the time, okay? We're supposed to always be in an attitude of prayer. Always have God on your mind, okay? Like the preacher said about Billy Sunday, you never knew if he was talking to you or God. You'd be walking down the street. Ma Sunday was telling Brother Hiles this, and Ma Sunday was the wife, Billy Sunday's wife, and she said of Billy, she said, I'd be walking down the street, and I'd have to listen to what he was saying to decide if he was talking to me or God, because he's all the time talking to God. Well, that's how it should be. You shouldn't leave God out of any part of your life, okay? You should have the kind of relationship where you're able to talk to him all the time, at any time, everywhere, okay? So, praying always, meditating day and night, giving thanks always for all things. Interesting, these things of fellowship, we're commanded to do that all the time. We're commanded to do that all the time. Why is that? Because God knows that's the reason why we were created, to be in fellowship with him. And that's how we access the fountain of eternal life. All right, so fellowship with God. Preaching. Hey, did you know? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
That's good.
Okay. Hey, life-giving preaching is that so many people, you know, a man of God stands up and he preaches in the power of God, and someone in the pew, it gets revival. What is that? That's life-giving preaching. You sit and you listen to a tape at your house or a tape, CD, okay? I'm dating myself. Listen to a CD or your iPod or whatever you're listening to, okay? But you listen to a sermon at your house, and it's life-giving preaching. You can be drinking at the fountain of eternal life. I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go get in a truck and drive to Allentown, and I'm going to put on Brother Hiles preaching. So that's what I do at night a lot of times, okay? I'm going to crank it up and listen to preaching. Why? Because it renews me. I get that extra jolt. I get that, some of that living water, you know. God uses that to give me a personal revival. He speaks to my heart. He softens my heart, and he sets my heart on fire. All of that because of the life-giving preaching. That's living water, okay? The Holy Spirit using the Word of God in your life, okay? So, preaching. Fasting. Fasting. Fasting, honestly, is, how do you say, that's the big guns. Fasting is the big guns, and it's the college course. Fasting, Isaiah 58, okay? I can read it for you. Isaiah 58, the whole chapter is about this. I don't know if I want to read all of that, though. Okay, cry aloud, spare, just listen fast, okay? Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Where have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife. In other words, you're fasting for the wrong reasons. Ye fast for strife, and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. I'm not listening to that, he said. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him and say, look, everybody, I'm fasting, okay? Yeah. He said, no, listen, he says, what wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Now you're going to see in these next few verses, the person of fasting is drinking at that fountain of living waters. It's not this the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor and that are cast out to the house? When thou seest the naked, and thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thy face from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. Thy darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Oh. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. At any rate, you get the idea. If you're going to drink at the fountain of living waters, this is the extreme. This is the big guns. The college course in drinking at the fountain of living waters. If you're going to fast, you're going to get hold of God. That's how that works. Every time I have fasted, God has done something special in my life. He has. It has not failed, okay? All right. So, the Bible, the Word of God, prayer, fellowship with God, praising and thanking Him. Preaching, listening to preaching, fasting. The last one is soul winning. John chapter 4. You see where Jesus was talking with that woman at the well. You remember? Well, look what he said to her. He said, if you would have asked of me, I would have given you living water, right? Okay, that was verse 10. Now what does it say in verse 14? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That's that fountain of eternal life. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Huh? That's a soul winner. They're sharing the water with somebody else. You know, that's what soul winning is. One thirsty beggar who found water telling another thirsty person where they can find water. That's what it is. It's that soul winning. Amen? At any rate, soul winning is, that is the last point that I'm going to mention on how we access the fountain of eternal life. In John chapter 7 and verse 38 says this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So with soul winning, as with prayer, as with the Bible, soul winning is going to be the same thing. You're going to have a time and a place and a plan, or you're not going to do it. Okay, you say, well, once in a while I get a chance to witness. Okay, well, if that's fine with you, be a once in a while, you know, Christian, be a once in a while access to the fountain of the water of life, then you do that. But other than that, you should have a regular time where you go soul winning. Okay? I'm not being condemning of anybody. That's something that's learned. We learn to go soul winning. We learn to make that part of our life. But you should grow. You should become a soul winner on a regular basis, not just on a happenstance basis, not just when I get a chance to witness. You should be a soul winner regularly, a planned thing, because that's part. Soul winning does something for you that nothing else can do. You want to drink of the water of the fountain of eternal life? Be a soul winner. Go and witness to people. It'll do something for you. It'll crank you up. It'll fill you and satisfy you like nothing else will. So, there's something in the water. That's the title of my message. Amen? There's something in the water.
That's good.
Hey, yeah, there's something in the water. And that's reality. That's the truth. There is something in the water. And bless God, I want it and I need it. But it's available. Whosoever will. That's our text verse. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Is it not available? Yes, it is available to everybody, okay? A person who's not saved, they can take the water of life and get saved, everlasting life. But a person who is saved, they can come back to the fountain and get that eternal life and that fullness and that satisfaction and that help and blessing. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. That's that fountain of living waters. Listen, if you are not in the habit of walking with God, you need to start that habit. You really do. And if you are in the habit of walking with God, bless God. Realize how important it is and never forsake it for anything, okay? It's the big deal in your life. It's the reason you were created, and it's your resource. It's your source of the abundant life. As we said, Jesus came and said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, this is how you have the abundant life. You drink from the fountain, and it's available for whosoever will. So we're going to pray. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, everyone's heads bowed, everybody's eyes are closed, and you'd say, Brother Stoltz, I listened to what you said tonight, and God spoke to my heart, and I feel like God did something for me here, and I needed to hear that tonight. That's something that I needed to hear. Would you raise your hand? You can put your hands down. Father, I just pray that you would bless in each heart and the invitation. If anyone feels like they need to deal with something in their life, then may they do so tonight. But Holy Spirit, please help us and work in our hearts now.